Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
So, welcome back to today's Daf, which is Erev in Daf Memches, where Mem Zayin with Beis, two lines from the bottom. It says, Gemara Tani Rabbi Chiya, Cheirem Shebein Tchumei Shabbos. If we have a body of water which is situated smack in the middle, between two boundaries of two cities. So we have one city on one side, one city on the other side, and lots of space in between. For instance, 4,000 Amma. So the 2,000 Amma, which is situated next to one city, is considered to be its boundary. 2,000 Amma next to the other city is considered to be its Tchum. We have a body of water which is right in the middle, right at the boundary of those two Tchumen, beginning inside the boundary of one city and stretching over to the boundary of the other. Now, they made a cheirem, which Rashi translates literally as meaning a fish trap, meaning a mechitza, a partition of reeds, to dissect this body of water right in the middle, so that the water is split along the boundary line. On this side, you're in the tchum of the city. On this side, the mechitza is the tchum of the other city. Cheirem shebein tchum shabbos. Sorach mechitza shel barzel nafsika. That's not enough. You need to make a mechitza shel barzel, a metal partition to actually seal off, to truly split this body of water. Why? Let's take a look at Rashi. Amem Zayin Amem Beis, 16 lines from the bottom, beginning with the word cheirem. So cheirem means a metzudas dogim, a trap designed to trap fish, umafsik b'mayim, which is splitting right in the middle of the water, bein beis tchumen shel beis ayores. So it's splitting the water right at the point of the tchum boundary to separate the water, which is situated in this boundary, from the water in the other boundary. V'chaveiroi mitzudim v'charomim. Asha brings a pasuk, which contains this word cherim. So these types of nets, traps. Uksiv alken yizbach l'charmoi. Okay. V'geder shel kanim hu. It's a fence made of reeds. So it somewhat partitions the two water, but it doesn't really seal it. There's some water that's going to penetrate inside through this gather. Therefore, it's not enough. Sorech las is mechitza shel barzel. You need to make a proper mechitza made of metal. Shel yavru mayim. Shel tchumzeh l'sef tchumzeh. So the water from this side doesn't enter the other side. The choma shebetoich tchumeh ir ein koinah shvisevim koinah. So actually, what's the problem? Because the water, which is situated within the boundary of a city, doesn't get its own tchum. So even though we're following Shitas Rabbi Yechem and Nuri, and something of Hefker will get Shvisa, but since it's within the city's boundaries, it doesn't get its own tchum, it doesn't get its own boundary of 2,000 Amma in all directions. Rather, it relates to the city. Elabasar Irgar. It gets connected to the city and gets the same tchum as the city. So the water which is within 2,000 of the city acquires the shvisa of the city. And until where can it be taken? Until that end, the end of that boundary. Let's say this water is right at the end of that boundary. It's 1,999 amma from the city. You can't go take it out past 2,000. Therefore, says Rashi, that poses a concern here. That creates a concern that the people of this tchum have a problem drawing water. Why? Because even if they're going to draw water from within their boundary, there's a concern with pnei eruv mayim shel tchum acher, because the water is getting mixed up. And everybody is going to be some water in this boundary that arrived from the other boundary. You're not allowed to move that water away from the city. So therefore, they have to create a mechitza shel barzel to seal off this body of water, so the water remains in each respective tchum, and this will prevent this concern. Continues the Gemara up on top, Memches Amud Aleph. So this was Reb Chiya's halacha. You have to seal off the body of water to separate the two waters, so to speak. The water from this tchum should remain in this tchum. The water which is meant to stay in this tchum will remain in this tchum. Mechayich alei Rabbi Yisrael Chanina. So Rabbi Yisrael Chanina scoffed at it. He laughed. He negated Reb Chiya's statement. Says more, why? My time, look at Machayach. Why did he laugh? Was it because Reb Chiya's halacha was based on the chumrah of Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, who holds that even something which is ownerless, even a chavitz of hefker, gets shvisa? So that's the concept that this halacha was based on. Even something which is mayim of hefker will get shvisa. And what type of shvisa does it get? As Rashi explained, it doesn't get its own shvisa in this case, since it's next to the city. It relates to the city and is restricted by the boundary of the city. So the halacha was based on Reichem and Nuri Lechumra, Ve'iusvir Leikra Rabbanon Lekula. And Reis Rechanino scoffed at it. He holds, like the Rabbanon, Lekula, that something of Hefka will not have Shvisa. And therefore, he didn't deem this whole process necessary. Because it's Hefka, it doesn't get Shvisa. And therefore, whoever draws whichever water can just pick it up and take it along with him. So is that the reason why he laughed? He says, well, that's not a reason. Umishum the Sabbath Lakula, just because he held the Kula. He holds like Shaitan's Chachamim, that a Chavitz of Hefka doesn't have Shvisa. And Manda Tari Lachumra, Machayachla, anybody else that has a Shita Lachumra, like Rabbi Yechim and Nuri, is there a reason to laugh at him? Ella, rather, why did he negate it? Mishum the Sanya, because we have a Braisa, which indicates to us that this whole process is unnecessary. This water is never kind of Shvisa to begin with. Why? The Sanya, Naharis HaMoshchen, flowing rivers, Mayonos HaNoivim, gushing springs, Harein Kirag Kaladam. Since they're in motion, they're on the move, they're in Be'ash Moshes, they're not kind of Shvisa. And anybody could just pick up that water and take it along with him. Therefore, Reish Rechnina didn't deem this whole thing necessary. Water which is flowing on the move doesn't get Shvisa Be'ash Moshes. There's no restrictions of Tchum. Says the Gemara, perhaps this situation we're speaking about, not flowing water, enclosed water, which is stationary. And therefore it's kind of Shvisa. So what was the problem? Ella, rather, what was his problem? Mishum diktani, tzorach mechitza shol barz lafsik. Because Rav Chiya tells us, mechitza shol kanim is not sufficient, not adequate separation, because the water penetrates through the reed fence. Therefore, you need to have a proper mechitza shol barzel. So you had a problem with that. Why? What's wrong with the mechitza shol kanim? The ayli b'humaya, because water gets through and doesn't provide that proper sealing and separation. Shol barzel nami, ayli b'humaya, even if you're going to make a metal wall, water's still going to get through. You can't practically, physically prevent every drop of water from penetrating the mechitza shel barzel, which is situated in water. Therefore, what's the point of upgrading the mechitza to mechitza shel barzel? So that was the basis of his negation of Rav Chiya's halach. Says Zigmar, Vildilma, Tzorech, Vein Letakana Kamar. Maybe you're right. Rav Chiya also did not really advise him to make a mechitza shel barzel. He says, you know, ideally, you should have a proper mechitza, like a mechitza shel barzel, to separate, but practically speaking, even that's not going to help. Tzorech, you need to have something better. Vein Letakana, but really, it's not really going to be a proper remedy. Meaning, there's no way to allow use of this body of water due to this very concern, because there's no way to really seal off the two sides of this water. So perhaps that's all he meant. So why did Reis HaChanina negate his statement? Ella, rather, the reason is as follows. Because he held there's no reason to upgrade the mechitza. Mishum de kalu shekilu chacham b'mayim. Chacham applied a leniency when it comes to partitioning water. They don't require a proper separation as long as there's some sort of mechitza asara, which gives the impression of separation here. That's enough. Because unlike dry land, which is a place where you walk and you use, you need to make a proper mechitza to partition two areas, one from the other. It needs to be a mechitza which actually sits on the ground and creates that separation between the two mekaymis. But when it comes to water, it's not a place where you walk. It's not a proper usage area. There the chacham suffice with a mere mechitza that provides indication of separateness. And therefore, even this type of mechitza, chashol kanim, Despite the fact they allow some water through, that's okay. As long as it's a mechitza of ten tefachim high and creates that indication of separateness, you're creating two separate drawing areas. These people are drawing from this side, those from the other. That's enough. Kalusha kilu chacham b'mayim. Kidder Rav Tavla, as we see from Rav Tavla. Dabay minei Rabbi Tavla mirav. Rav Tavla asked the following question of Rav. Mechitza tzuliya. You have a hanging mechitza. So it's coming from above, but not reaching the ground below. It's ten tefachim, but it's not actually flush to the ground. Ma'o shetate b'chorva. Can it permit carrying inside a ruins? Meaning, is it considered to be a valid mechitza on dry land? Amar le, Sir Rav responded, no. A mechitza tluya materis, ela b'mayim. This type of mechitza will only be valid in water, not on dry land. On dry land, it needs to actually dissect the surface below the ground. But on water, that's enough. Kalu she'ikilu chacham b'mayim was a special kula that was applied by the chacham specifically for the sake of water. Let's take a look at Rashi inside, three lines from the top. Ela, mishum hochi mechayachale. That's why he left. That's why he negated him. The kalu she'ikilu chacham b'mayim. When it comes to mechitza of water, chacham applied a kula. The mechitza kodu, even just a impartial, incomplete mechitza, is enough. As long as it's 10 tefachim, that is effective for water. Although there's water going over either the top of the mechitza or the bottom of the mechitza, that's enough. And the conclusion was that even a mechitza tluya is enough when separating water. And just as a hanging mechitza is effective for water, mechitza is kanam nami mahanya. Likewise, a mechitza of konim. The mali me'arve maya mitatoy. What difference does it make if the water is getting mixed up underneath the mechitza, which is not reaching the bottom of the riverbed? Mali me'arve min kan l'chaveir. Or if the water is getting mixed up by entering between those reeds. So either way, there's some mixture taking place. And this type of mechitza is enough. A hanging mechitza is enough. A mechitza shekanim is enough, even though some water is penetrating in between those reeds. As long as you've created that separation, you don't need to actually dissect the makim. You don't need to go down to the floor below and separate, absolutely seal that water off. As long as you created some appearance of separation, when it comes to drawing water, that's enough. So here you created this mechitza shekanim to create two separate drawing areas. The people of this city are drawing from this side, the other people from the other side, that's enough. When it comes to water, therefore, B'yaisi, Ruchinina maintained, there's no need to upgrade the Mechitza Shel Kanam. Continues the Gemara. V'chacham ayrim ein lo'ila abramis. Getting back to our Mishnah, a person's stuck out in the wilderness, he doesn't have a tchum. What does he get? A shir of 4 amos, which is his personal space. And the Mishnah brings the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda, who also says that a person gets 4 amos of personal space. Rabbi Yehuda, ayin atan akama. The Shita of Rabbi Yehuda is one and the same as the Shita of Tanakama. Why that repetition? Amar Rava, there's a difference between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Shmoina shmoina ike benayu. According to Tanakama, he's not limited to merely 4 amis. Rabbi Yehuda says he only gets 4 amis. 4 by 4, that's his personal space. You can choose in which direction you'd like to have that personal space. That's all you're going to get, 4 by 4. Whereas the Tanakama holds, sure, you're granted 4x4 for your personal space, but you can have it in all directions. You can have it in this direction, in that direction, in any direction you like. So that gives you a total of 8 amos by 8 amos. So an 8x8 square. So the big difference between Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda. Tani Nami Hachi, we learned likewise in the Braisa, Yeshle Shmoy Nal Shmoy Adivere Meir. So according to Rabbi Meir, who was a Tanakama, there's 8x8, which is given to him. Now the point here is that, according to Tanakama, it's not that the concept changes. His personal space is still meant to be 4x4, but you could have your personal space in this direction, in the other direction as well, in any direction you'd like. So it's really a compilation of numerous personal spaces of 4x4. So the underlying concept is really the same. It's a space of 4x4, but according to our mayor, we give it to him in all directions. That leads us into the next Gemara. V'amar Rava, machlek is lahalach. His machlek is meaning, according to Rav Meir, that he gets a square of 8x8, that's only regarding his walking allowance. He can walk around this entire square. Aval etatel, divra koil arba amis in, tveiloi. When it comes to actually carrying a chefetz, he can't pick up a chefetz here and walk around with it. He can't carry it more than 4 amis. Arba amis in, yes, 4 amis, yeah. Tveiloi, more than that, no. Because the restriction of carrying something for amis in Karmelis or in Shusrabim is based on a simple concept. You're not meant to take something outside of its unit, outside of its space, which is 4 amis. Now, even according to Rameh, this person has 8 amis. The concept here is still the same. 4 amis is considered to be one unit. He's just granted many such units. Therefore, in total, he can walk more than 4 amis. When it comes to carrying a chefetz, it is still limited to that 4 amis space. You can only carry within 4 amis. And no more than that. Continues the Gemara. V'hani dalat amis hecha ksiva. We learned that a person has 4 amis of personal space. Where is this hinted? Where is this concept alluded to in a pasuk? Kedesanya shvu ish tachtav. Torah says on Shabbos, a person is meant to remain in place. Shvu ish tachtav, and the pasuk includes al yetei shvim koyim abiyam ha-shvi, a person shouldn't leave his place on Shabbos, shouldn't go out of his boundary. So the Gemara makes a drush. Shvu ish tachtav, ki tachtav. The remez here is that it's referring to a person who doesn't have a tchum for some reason. So he's granted personal space. How large is personal space? Ki tachtav. As the area underneath him. The kama tachtav. How much is that? How much space? How large a space is that? Gufi shalish amos. His body is 3 amos long. And an additional amo we need. V'amo kedei lif shoy diodav v'raglo. So he can spread his hands and feet. So he can pick his hand above his head. So the point here is we give him an additional amo for a total of 4. That's considered to be your personal space, which is alluded to in this pasuk, shvuish tachtav, meant to stay tachtav inside this personal space underneath you, which is 4 amos. Divrei Rav Meir. Rabbi Daimer, a similar thing, gufei shalosh amos. Person's body is 3. The additional amo is for usage space. V'amo kdei sheyitol chefetz mitachas magaloisav, to allow him to take an object from underneath his feet, maniach mitachas marashoisav, and transfer it to under his head, meaning you need to give him some room to move around, to be metaltel chafetzim. So that gives you a total of 4 amos. So you have a 4 amo by 4 amos square. Might be now. What is the halachic difference between a mayor and a Yehuda? That's why there's a slight difference. Ike benayu, arba amo is mitzumtzumis. We know that an amo is comprised of 6 tvachim. The question is, how do you measure the tvachim, those fists? Is it mitzumtzum? You clench your fist, the fingers are situated tight and right next to each other, so it ends up being a smaller tefach, which results in a smaller amo. Or are the tvachim measured, leaving your fingers loose, lying loosely? And that results in a slightly larger amo. Farshim say the difference is very small. It's a half of a etzba width. So the larger amo is a half a etzba longer than the small amo. So Mordechai tells us that according to Rav Meir, the amo is a larger amo. Amo gedoyla, because Rav Meir describes it as the person stretching himself. So that denotes a larger size amo. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda maintains it's going to be a smaller amo. It's going to be 4 amos, but a bit smaller. So in summary, regarding the 4 amos, according to Rav Meir, he gets a total of 8x8. According to Rabbi Yehuda, a total of 4x4. According to Rav Meir, those amos are larger size amos. According to Rabbi Yehuda, smaller size amos. Amalei Rav Mishashi Libre. Mishashi instructed his son, Ki Ailis, come into Rapapa. When you go into Rapapa, Boimine, I'd like you to ask him the following question. Arba amos she'amru. These 4 amos that we spoke about, how do we measure it? Ba'ama did dey avinele? Do we grant it to him based on his personal amma? Meaning, a person's amma is as follows. You measure from his elbow to the tip of his middle finger. That's called an amma. So is that how we measure the 4 amas? Oy ba ama shel kodesh avinale. Although we work with a standard measurement of an ama, which was based on a yardstick in the Beis Hamikdash, which was measured based on the measurement that Moshe Rabbeinu handed down. So this is your standard ama. Which one are we meant to use to measure the four amas of a person's personal space? Ba'ama didei avinale, oy ba'ama shel kodesh avinale. Im amalach ama shel kodesh avinale. If our papa will tell you, certainly we're meant to use those standard amas. If that's the case, we have a problem. Oig melech habosh matayola. What's going to happen if Oig melech habosh, a giant, gets stuck out in the wilderness on Shabbos? He needs to have four amas. You're going to grant him very small four amas based on the yardstick in the Beis Hamikdash. He's too big to fit in there. V'im amalach ba'ama didei avinale. And if he tells you, we give him the amas based on his personal body size. Emalei. So then you'll tell him as follows. Have a kasha. If it's personal, my time like tanila, why isn't this halacha listed amongst the list of many such halachas in a Mishnah in Kalim, where the Mishnah gives us a whole list of halachas that are based on personal measurements? My time like tanila, why isn't this halacha stated in that list, Gabi Yesha Amro, there are some things that the Chum said, HaKol Vi Mashu Adam. It's based on a person's personal body size. So why isn't this included in that halacha? So either way, we have a kasha. If you're going to use standard amis, has a giant going to fit in there? If you're going to use a person's personal amis, why isn't it included in the mission? Okay. Ki Asa Kamei Derav Papa. So when Misharshi's son arrived before our papa, and he asked him this question, our papa responded, "Amar lei, idakina kula hai." If we're going to analyze to this extent, ask all these kashas, lo yhabe tanin, we're never going to learn anything. So we're not meant to get so nitty gritty when it comes to these things. But he did answer him. He says, "Lo'olam ba'ama didei yavinale." Certainly, the amas are measured based on a person's personal body size. Meant to accommodate even a giant. If so, what happened to your kasha? My time like tani gabi yeshamru. Why wasn't it included in that Mishnah? The answer is, because it's not an absolute formula. You can't say that we always follow a person's personal body size, because there's a case where it's actually to his detriment. Mishum de'ika nanas be'varav. A person who's a standardized person, but his avarim, his limbs, are perhaps smaller than standard. So in this case, we can't use his avarim because it won't accommodate him. Let's take a look at Rashi. So off to the right, about 10 lines up. Mishum de'ikin nanas be'avarim. Shaguva beinin, he has an average size body. V'amasik tzora, but his hand, his forearm, which is being used as the ama, is short. It's small size. V'lisogli v'amadidei. If you're going to use his arm, it won't accommodate him. In this case, you have to be lenient. You have to measure his four armies based on the standard arm. So the conclusion is that we follow a lenient approach. When it comes to a giant, we use his armies. When it comes to a person who it won't work out for him, if we use his armies, in that case, we use the standard size arm. So in summary, when it comes to a person who is Yetzir Chutzot Chum, we give him four armies. According to our mayor, we give him four amis in all directions, which totals a square of 8x8. The Gemara tells us that's strictly regarding the hiluch privilege. So you can walk all throughout that square, but being a taltal chayfetz, certainly it's only limited to four amis. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he gets the four amis in one direction for a total of 4x4. According to our mayor, those amis are large size amis. According to Rabbi Yehuda, small size amis. The Gemara concludes, generally, we measure those four amis based on his personal body size. When it comes to this namas, we use the ama shel kodesh. Continues the Gemara, Hayu shnayim mikzeh samayis shel zeh v'chulu. Just to describe the situation, we have some people sitting out in the open on Shabbos. Each one has his four amas. So we have three people. Now, we have two outer ones that have eight amas between each other, in which case they don't share any space. We have a third person right in the middle of those two. So his four amas are split, two on this side, meaning he's sharing two with the person on his right, and he's sharing two amis with the person on his left, Mishnah tells us. This person can actually interact with the people on the side using that shared territory. They could transfer back and forth within that shared territory, whereas the two outer people, Shtayim Hachitzayim, who don't really share any territory, they cannot transfer anything from one side to the other. Rav Shimon tells us this is similar to a case where you have three chatseris, three courtyards lined up, one next to each other. So you have two outer ones and one right in the middle, two chitzoynos and one emtsoys. Let's say the two outer ones decided to make an eruv chatseris with the middle one, but not with each other. So what's the result? The outer ones can transfer to the middle one. The middle one can transfer to the outer ones. But the two chitzoynos, two outer ones, cannot transfer one to the other. They can't take a kli which was present in one of the outer ones during Banish Maras and transfer it over to the chatzer on the other extreme, because they don't have that allowance. They didn't make an eruv with each other. So Rav Shimon says this is similar to the case of the three people. So the two outer ones can interact with the middle one through their shared territory, and the middle one could interact with them, but they, the two outer ones, cannot interact with each other because they don't share any territory. Says the Gemara, why was this necessary? Why did Shimon find it necessary to illustrate the halacha of three people out in the field with a case of three courtyards? What was the point that he was making? Hachik amarlu Reb Shimon Rabban. This is what Reb Shimon is telling the Rabban. Mechti, let's take a look. L'mad amar daim. What is the case of three people similar to l'sholish chatzeris? Ha'psuchos l'zu. Ha'psuchos shesurab. It's similar to the case of three chatzeris who have access to each other. And they're all open to shesurab. That's the case that we mentioned. And the two outer ones made an erev with the middle one, which allows them to interact with it, and it with them. But the two outer ones can't interact with each other. Now, that sheet is Reb Shimon. Rabban hold that they're us with each other, as we're going to learn later on. Shimon wants to know, he says, look, this is so similar, the case of the three people, where we say the two outer ones can interact with the middle one with the outer ones, but the outer ones not with each other, is so similar to the case of three chatzeris. Why that distinction? Why in the case of three people, do you agree? There's no problem with them interacting. In contrast with the case of the three chatzeris, well, you disagree with me. You don't allow this to take place. You don't allow the two outer chatzeris to interact with the middle chatzer. What's the difference? Maish nahasan de plegisu. Why over there by the courtyards do you disagree with me? Oh, maish nahasan de plegisu. In contrast with this case of the three people, you agree. There's no machlekes here. Says what is the difference? Rabbanan, they respond as follows. Hosam Avshidur, in the case of the three chatzeris, many people there, and many objects that are going to be transferred back and forth, and it's hard to keep track who's doing what, who's transferring what, therefore there's a concern. If you allow even that minimal interaction to take place, so the outer courtyards are going to transfer to the middle courtyard, the middle one to the outer ones, there's a concern that perhaps it's going to result in a mikshal, a pitfall. The outer courtyards will end up somehow transferring to each other as well. So therefore, we disagree. We don't allow that to take place. We don't allow the outer ones to interact even with the middle one. Ha chalei afshed yurin. Contrary to our case, we just have three people here. Two people, three people. Not too many people here. It's easy to keep track. There's no concern that they'll do something wrong and they'll transfer inappropriately. Therefore, in this case, certainly they can transfer to each other through their shared territory. Continues the Gemara. So this is the case of the three chatzeris lined up next to each other. And what happened was that the two outer ones made an eruv with the middle one. So they're allowed to transfer to the middle one, and vice versa. But the two extreme chatzeris didn't make an eruv with each other. Therefore, they're prevented from transferring to each other. So that's more why. Va'amai. Once the outer ones made an eruv with the middle one, and let's assume that the eruv bread was placed in the middle chatzim. So once that happens, all three chatziris have now merged together. They've become one usage area. Because once the outer ones made an eruv with the middle one, placed some food there, it's as though they're living there. And they've all just joined together into one happy family. So just as they can transfer to the middle one, the middle one to them, they should be able to transfer to each other as well. Amar Rav Yehuda, when I'm speaking about that case, they didn't place the Erev in the middle one. Kigon shenasna emtsayis, eruva bezu. Eruva bezu, what happened was, at the middle, chatzer, when he wanted to connect himself to the outer chatzeris, what did he do? He placed his Erev in the outer chatzeris. Let's take a look at Rashi. Two lines from the bottom, the last word on that second line, shenasna emtsayis, eruva bezu bezu. So he placed his Erev in the outer courtyards. The dami emtsayis, kilu dora behen. This creates a situation where it appears that the middle one is living with them. However, they're not living in the middle one. Therefore, it doesn't allow us to say that they're all living together in one area. And they're one combined entity. We don't say that because the bread of the Erev was placed in the outer ones. So we have one Erev placed on this side, which combines the outer one with the middle one. One Erev placed on the other outer one, which combines that chatzah with the middle one. But the two outer ones have no relation to each other. They're unconnected. And therefore, they cannot transfer one to the other. Let's review this approach. Rav Sheshes Amar, afilu teima, shenasnu erum b'emtzois. Even if we're speaking that they placed the Erev in the middle one. The kasha was, if so, why don't they all bond together, combine into one usage area? Kegoin, we're speaking about a case, shenasnu b'shnei batim. They placed the Erev in the middle chatzar, but in two separate homes. Let's see Rashi on top. Vishnei batim, the hashalim mechabron chitzonis v'adadi. In which case, the two outer ones won't join, won't connect with each other. Because we have two separate Erevs, placed, although in the middle chatzar, but in two separate homes. So there's no true connection between the two outer chatzars. Continues the Gemara. Kiman ki beshamai, are we following Shita's beshamai, who holds that that's considered to be a separation? The Sanya, Hamisha Shagovos Eruvan, we have five people living in a chatzu. They collected their Erev material, and it's no Mishnei Kalim. They placed it into two Kalim. Vishami Arim, Ein Eruvan Erev, it's invalid. It's meant to be joined together. It has to be in one Kli. That merges the usage, the ownership, the residence. But if it's a two Kalim, you've made two separate collections, two separate Erevs. It doesn't work. Still, Arim, Eruvan Erev, it does work. So Rav Sheshes tells us that they placed it in two homes. That's considered to be two separate Erevs. Is he following Beis Shammai, who holds that to be a problem? Says the Rana, Afilu Teima Beis Hillel. Rav Sheshes could be following even Shitas Beis Hillel. How? Ad Kan Leka Amri Beis Hillel Hasam. It's only over there that Beis Hillel maintained that a split Erev somehow joins together and is regarded as one and the same Erev. That's only Ela B'Shnei Kelim Vaisechot, in a case where, although it was split into two Kelim, but ultimately he was sitting in one home. And that Bais Echad has the ability to join them together, combine them into one Erev. Avo b'shnei batam loy. But if the Erev was split into two homes, in this case, there's no way to join them together. Okay, so at this point in the Gemara, we have two answers to our kasha. What was the kasha? We have three chatziris. And the two outer ones establish an Erev with the middle one. Mishnah tells us they can transfer to the middle one, and the middle one can transfer to them, but the two outer ones are unconnected, cannot transfer to each other. The kasha was, but once they made an Erev with the middle one, then automatically they're all joined together as one. We have two answers. Rida says, the Erev wasn't placed in the middle one, rather it was placed in the outer ones, in which case there's no reason for us to go ahead and join and combine all of them together. Rav Shesha says, it was placed in the middle one, but the two Erevs were placed in two separate homes. Therefore, the two outer ones have no connection with each other and don't combine into one usage area. So two answers. It says the Gemara Amalei Rav Acha Beder Rav Avya. He asked the Kasha Rav Ashi. I have a problem with both approaches. The Rav Yehuda Kasha, the Rav Sheshes Kasha. I have a Kasha on Rav Yehuda's Teretz and likewise on Rav Sheshes Teretz. Explains the Gemara. The Rav Yehuda Kasha, what's my Kasha on Rav Yehuda? The Amar, because he said, Kigon Shenasna Emtsois, Eruva Bezu, Eruva Bezu, was speaking where the middle one placed its Erev in the outer ones. He placed Eruva Bezu, Eruva Bezu. So he placed an Erev in the Chatzah to his right, an Erev to his Chatzah to his left. So the problem is, the Kivan, the Erva, Emtsois, Now, once he's accomplished that first step, he made an Erev with the Chatzar to his right. What happens then? The middle one and the right are considered to be one and the same entity. That's the point of the Erev, to bond them, to make them join together into one usage area. So once you've accomplished that, the middle one and the right one are considered to be one entity. Now when he proceeds to phase two of the process, he's going to make an Erev with the Chatzar to his left. When he proceeds to make an Erev with the other one, he's not only making an Erev for himself, because he's no longer a separate independent entity. He's already connected with the Chatzar to his right. He has done a service, a shlichus, for the Chatzar to his right as well, meaning the Erev that the middle one is making with the Chatzar to his left is not only on behalf of his own self, it's also on behalf of the Chatzar to his right, with which he had already joined and bonded together, considered to be one and the same entity. So when he makes an Erev with the Chatzar to his left, why isn't this considered to be an Erev accomplished also for the Chatzar to his right, to the outer Chatzar? So this should result in all the Chatzaris joining together and allow us to transfer freely from one to the other. So that's the Kasha Kondra Yehuda. What's the Kasha Kondra Sheshes? Well, Sheshes Kasha. Sheshes tells us that we're speaking where they placed the Erev. There were two Erevs, and they placed it in the middle Chatzar. Why doesn't that affect a combination? Why doesn't that connect everybody together? Because it was in two separate homes. So that's why we have a problem with that. If it's in two separate homes, that should actually ruin the entire system. Let it be similar to the case where you have five people living in one chatzar who need to join together in one Erev. And what happened? They made an Erev, but one fellow forgot and didn't join the Erev. What happens? The Asriya Dadi. Certainly, they all prohibit each other from caring because they haven't properly joined together in an Erev. Now, as Rashi points out, even if, let's say, this fellow made an Erev with another member of his chatzar, but didn't properly join with everybody else. So you have five people, four properly joined together, and one only decided to join with his friend, with one other person, not with everybody together. So it's like two separate Erevs, and it doesn't work. You haven't really joined and bonded everybody together as one. So here as well, when the two outer courtyards placed their Erev in the Emtsois, in two separate homes, the fact that they placed the Erev there, let it be regarded as though they're actually living there. So now if everybody's living in one chatzar, but they're split with their Erev, they made two separate Erevs, it doesn't work. What's the result? You can't carry throughout the chatzar at all. So we have two kashas, kasha on Yehuda. Why isn't everybody mutter? And we have a kasha, kasha of sheshes. Why isn't everybody also? Amalei Ravashi. So Ravashi responded, none of these kashas are difficult. Loi the Ravida kasha, loi the Rav sheshes kasha. Why? Ravida le kasha. What was the kasha kasha of Yehuda? Once the middle one established an Erev with the chatzah to its side, it has bonded and joined with it, and now when he proceeds to the next step, it makes an Erev with the chatzar on the other side. Why can't he bring along the outer chatzar with him? Says the Gemara, like kasha, it's not a kasha. Even the Erev le'emtsois ba'adechitzoyne or ba'adechitzoynes. Since we're speaking about a case where specifically the middle one made an Erev with the outer ones, but the outer ones didn't bother making Erev with each other. Shtam echitzoynes ba'adeladadi lo Erev. The two outer ones didn't bother making Erev with each other. So what does that demonstrate? What does that indicate? They're not interested in connecting with each other. Gal yadaite, that demonstrates, that indicates the baha nichale, bala nichale, that the outer one wants to be connected with the middle one. He doesn't want to connect the chatzar on the other extreme. So here we have a clear indication that we're not meant to join them together. So what was the kasha? Let them automatically join? They don't want to join together. Therefore, we leave it as is. That they can interact with the middle one, and vice versa, but the two outer ones also with each other. So that answers that kasha. Likewise, Akasha asked the coin of Sheshes, will be answered as follows. What was the question? Once they place the Erev in the middle chatzar, let it be regarded as though they're living there. And since they're living in one chatzar, they need to make one single Erev. In contrast with this case where we have two separate Erevs sitting in two separate homes, this should make everybody us with each other. You know what the answer is? They're not actually living there. Im amru d'yurin lahakil, yoimru d'yurin lahachmer. This concept that where you place an Erev is considered to be your place of residence, that only works, that's only applied if it results in a kula. The entire concept of Erev Chatzeres, let's keep in mind, is to allow. Right? Shlomo HaMelech made a gzera. We don't transfer from a person's private home to the shared courtyard. It's like taking from one type of rishus to the other, which can be confused with shzeach or sarab. So we're meant to go ahead and join forces, merge the usage of the chatzer, let it be considered like all one big usage entity, one big rishus, in order to result in heter, to allow carrying throughout the area. The point of joining force, the point of creating that area, is to result in heter. But if it's going to result in iser, such as in this case, what you're proposing, the fact that they put an Erev in the middle one, let it be regarded as though they're living there, and therefore, if they're living there, they need to join with each other. They're not joining, so it's aser. We don't apply that concept if it results in an iser. Im amru d'yurin l'hakal. If the Chacham applied the concept of d'yurin, that when you place the Erev, that's where you reside, l'hakal, to affect a kula. Yoimru d'yurin l'achmer. Do you think they're going to apply the concept of d'yurin if it results in a chumra? No, they won't do that. Let's take a look at Rashi. Off to the left, three lines down. Im amru d'yurin. Shel zu b'zu adei Erev l'hakal. We apply this concept that it says, oh, you're living in the place where you place the Erev. They said in order to affect a kula, la'atiru n'yacha, to allow them to carry with each other. Shall we say that, let's apply this concept, that the Erev brings them into the area in order to affect Isser? We don't do that. They're not practically living there. Sure, if people are living together in the same chasa, they need to establish a proper Erev. But in this case, they're not actually living there. The Lebaye Ruven Vaisechot, which would require them to place an Erev in one home. So since they're not actually living there, Hilchuch Afagav, therefore, even in this case, that the two outer ones have not made an Erev with each other, there's no harm, because there's no need for them to make an Erev. They don't live together in the same chatzar. Nevertheless, the outer one will be mitzarf with the middle one to allow transferring back and forth. But the Asri Adadi, the two outer ones don't cause any harm, don't make Isser, because they don't really need to make an Erev with each other. So in summary, Rav Shimon tells us, we have Shalish Chatzeris next to each other, and the Emtsois made an Erev with the Chitzoinis, the Lacha is, he can transfer to them, they can transfer to him. But the Chitzoinis are Surah Zaimzu, they can't transfer from one to the other. We have two approaches to this halacha. Ravita tells us we're speaking where the Erev was placed in the Chitzoinis. They were placed in the outer courtyards, because had they been placed in the middle courtyard, that itself would combine them all into one entity and allow them to transfer freely back and forth. Now the kasha was, well, if the Emtsois first made an Erev with the Chatzer to his right, so that combined them together. And now, when he proceeds to his next phase, to make an Erev with the Chatzer to his left, why don't we say that since he's already been bonded with the Chatzer to his right, it's become one entity, so now when he makes an Erev with the Chatzer to his left, he's bringing along the Chatzer to his right as well. And it's becoming all one Erev. The answer is, because the fact that the Chitzoinis chose not to make an Erev with each other, that indicates they're not interested. They're connected to each other, and therefore they remain separate. If Sheshes' approach was, that certainly the Erev was placed in the Emtsois, but in two separate homes. Therefore, the two outer courtyards don't join with each other. The question was, if the Erev was in the Emtsois, let it be considered as though the outer courtyards are actually living in the Emtsois, in which case they need an Erev with each other. What tells us, we don't apply this concept of the urin lahachmer. Why don't we say that the chitzoinis are muta with each other? The answer was because the Erev that they made with the middle one was placed in two separate homes, in which case the two chitzoinis don't join, don't combine with each other, and they remain usher to zuimzu. Okay, time for a brief review of today's daf. It began with the pond, which was right in the middle of the two tchumen of the two cities. Rav Chiya required an enhanced Hefsek and Mechitza within two portions of water. Rabbi Yitzchak Hanina says it's unnecessary because a It's merely water. As long as you've created that mechitza shel kanam to indicate that you're drawing from two separate areas, that's sufficient. If a person finds himself out of the tchum, he gets four amis. What does that mean? According to Rav Meir, four amis in all directions, for a total of a square of 8x8, in which he can walk freely. He can only carry four amis at a time. According to Rav Yehuda, he gets four amis in one direction, and that's it. A total of 4x4. What size amis are we speaking? According to Rav Meir, larger size. According to Rav Yehuda, a bit smaller. How do we measure these amis? We use his own amma, from his elbow to the tip of his middle finger, to accommodate a giant. Now, if this person is a namas beivarov, he's a medium-sized person, but his limbs are small, in which case, if you use his own measurements, it's not going to accommodate him. In this case, we use this standard amma, the amma shel kodesh. He would have told us if we have two people out in the open who have some shared space, then certainly they can transfer within that shared space. Rav Shimon says the same thing applies to three chatzeris, which are lined up next to each other, and the two outer ones made an area with the middle one. They can share with the middle one. The middle one can share with them, but the two outer ones cannot share with each other. We have two approaches how to understand this halacha.